Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike once again at May-21, 2011.com, and we're continuing our study in Hebrews. We're on Hebrews chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. I'll begin as usual by reading the verses and then going into the introduction. Starting in verse 7, we read, "Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." In these verses of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, we are first reminded what David said in Psalm 95, verse 7, namely, "If today you should hear the voice of Yahweh, you should not harden your hearts as the Israelites in the wilderness did, which resulted in their not being permitted into his rest, the promised land." The idea is that if you harden your hearts to what the Word of God, the Bible, teaches, then just like the Israelites in the wilderness, you also will not be permitted into his rest, which is actually heaven. The promised land, the land of Canaan that Joshua led the people into, never did give the Israelites rest. But it was only a type of the true rest that we, the spiritual Israel, will have only once we have entered into heaven. This is why David spoke of another day in which not to harden your hearts, hundreds of years after Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. It was to reveal that there remains a rest in heaven to the people of God. And this can be seen in that we have not yet ceased from our own works, which, if we had already entered into complete rest, we will have already ceased from our own works, even as God did cease from his own works on the seventh day of creation. But since we have not yet completely ceased from our own works in this life, we know that there remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Let's begin with verse 7 of chapter 4. This is verse 7. "Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." In this verse, we first read, again, he limits a certain day. But what does it mean that he limits a certain day? I prefer to translate the verb limits in he limits a certain day as determines or specifies, so that our verse now reads, again, he, that is Yahweh, determines or specifies a certain day. The verb determines, that is, or specifies, is in the present tense of the Greek, which means that the action of the verb is ongoing in the present. That is, Yahweh ongoingly or continuously is determining or specifying a certain day, which we could translate like this. Again, he, that is Yahweh, is determining or specifying a certain day. Now we read further, again, he is determining or specifying a certain day, saying in David. The verb participle, saying, which is in the phrase saying in David, is also in the present tense, which simply means that saying in David is continuous or ongoing in the present, even as the determining or specifying of a certain day is taking place ongoingly or continuously in the present. But next, we read that Yahweh is saying in David today after so long a time. The word today is the beginning of David's quote from Psalm 95:7, which reads, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And the phrase, after so long a time, is simply emphasizing that it was quite some time, actually about 450 years, since the Israelites in the wilderness had hardened their hearts, to when David says in the Psalms, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." But now, as an introduction to what will be Psalm 95:7, we read, as it is said, actually the verb translated as it is said is in the perfect tense, and the passive voice. The perfect tense means that the action of the verb, it is said, was completed in the past, and the result of that past action continues on in full force. The passive voice means that the subject of the action is passive in the matter. Therefore, we can say, it has been said, and the result of it having been said in the past is that it continues to be said right up to the present. Our verse now reads, taking all this into account, again, he, that is Yahweh, is specifying a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it has been said and continues to be said right up to the present, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now let's focus in on the last part of our verse. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As was previously said, this is a quote from Psalm 95, verse 7, a psalm of David. But it is written a little differently here in Hebrews, verse 7. The verb translated, you will hear, in the sentence, today, if you will hear his voice, is actually in the subjunctive mood, which is the mood of possibility or probability. Therefore, it should be translated, if you may hear his voice, to express possibility, or if you should hear his voice to express probability. We will translate it today, if you should hear his voice. Then we read, harden not your hearts. Actually, the verb harden, here in the sentence, harden not your hearts, is also in the subjunctive move. And so it can be translated, you may harden your hearts to express possibility, or it can be translated, you should harden not your hearts to express probability. Our entire verse now reads, taking all this into account, again, he, that is Yahweh, is specifying a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it has been said, today, if you should hear his voice, you should harden not your hearts. The whole idea is that if you should hear the voice of Yahweh, and we don't hear his voice through anything but the Holy Scriptures, you should not harden your hearts to what is being said, as the Israelites did. Because of this, they were not permitted to enter into the promised land. No, we should rather pay attention to hear what the Bible actually says and then obey it, unless we too find ourselves to not be permitted into the promised land, that is heaven. Moving on to verse 8 of chapter 4, this is verse 8. of chapter 4 of Hebrews. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Here the first part of our verse reads, for if Jesus had given them rest, actually, the word Jesus in the sentence, for if Jesus had given them rest, can be translated in the Hebrew as Joshua. Joshua comes from the Hebrew word Yahashua, Yahashua, which means Yahweh is salvation. Now, if we exchange the word Joshua in the place of Jesus, our verse reads, for if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? The verse is simply making it clear that Joshua never did actually give the Israelites rest, because as we saw in the previous verse, David spoke of another day, hundreds of years after the Israelites supposedly obtained rest in the land, saying, today, if you should hear his voice, you should harden not your hearts. This rest that David is speaking about is first the spiritual rest that people come into through faith in Jesus Christ, and second, the literal rest that these same people enter into once they go to heaven. First comes the spiritual rest in Christ, but then comes the complete rest in heaven. To enter the spiritual rest in Christ was only possible up to May 21, 2011, when spiritual rest or salvation was still possible. But the complete rest in heaven for all those who had become spiritually saved by May 21, 2011 still remains until they all go to heaven, which will only be fully completed in the new heaven and earth to be created on the last day. Hence, on this day only, all of the elect will finally have obtained complete rest for all eternity, where there is no longer any pain and suffering, no longer any sadness and sorrow, no longer any sin and death. Praise Yahweh. Amen. Now we read in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Here the conclusion is that there remains, is being left, taking into account the present tense and the passive voice. Therefore, a rest. There is a rest to the people of God. Back in the first century when this was written, this had a double meaning. First, for the elect, it meant that there remained a rest in Christ for all those who had not yet come to believe unto salvation. But second, it meant that for all those who had already believed unto salvation in Christ, that there was still being left a rest to come in heaven. This latter meaning is the meaning of for us today, namely, that there remains a rest in heaven for all the elect who now find themselves in the midst of spiritual judgment day ever since May 21, 2011. Since all of these elect had already entered the spiritual rest in Christ by the time of May 21, 2011, the only rest that remains is that literal rest that all of the elect will enter onto the last day when they enter into the new heaven and earth. Therefore, we should not harden our hearts to the word of Yahweh as the Israelites did, but we should pay very careful attention to his word that we may prove that we are indeed the children of God as we enter into our final rest, which is the new heaven and earth to be created on the last day. Now the last verse that we'll go over in this short study is verse 10 of Hebrews 4. There we read, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." In this verse, the first sentence reads, once again, "For he that is entered into his rest." The verb participle translated as "that is entered" in this sentence, "for he that is entered into his rest," is in the aorist tense, which signifies an action at some point in the past, and should thus be translated simply as "that entered." Showing this in our verse, we read, "For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works." Now the second sentence in our verse reads, "He also has ceased from his own works." Here the word "has" in the sentence, "he also has ceased from his own works," does not actually exist in the Greek. So our entire verse can now be read like this: "For he that entered into his rest, he also ceased," not "has ceased," but just "he also ceased from his own works, as God did from his." The idea is that the one who has entered into Yahweh's rest has ceased from his or her own works, even as God did from his when he rested on the seventh day of creation. That is, when the elect first entered into spiritual rest upon having been spiritually born again, they ceased from their own works in the sense that they no longer sought to work their way into heaven, contrary to what the whole world is attempting to do, but instead to rest in the completed works of Christ on their behalf. And when the elect are finally translated into their complete rest in the new heaven and earth on the last day, they will have completely ceased from their own works, not because they will not be working in heaven, but because in heaven, Christ will be perfectly working through them. So it won't any longer be of their own works, such as in sin, but it will be the perfect works of Christ alone through them. Indeed, in this life, the elect never do ever have complete rest because of sin yet still in their body, which hinders the Spirit from working perfectly through the elect at all times. The result being that, to some degree, the elect still work in this life in their bodies to commit sin. But in the next life, in the new heaven and earth, these sinful bodies will be replaced with new sinless bodies to match our sinless souls, which were already given to us. Then our works will no longer be any of our own works, such as when we sin, but they will be only the perfect works of Christ through us, as we have come to completely rest in his almighty power working in us. What I am saying is that in this life, even though we are saved, and we are no longer working for our salvation, therefore, contrary to what everyone apart from Christ is doing, we have not yet completely rested in Christ so that all of our works are actually his works. No, if all of our works were his works, we would not ever sin. But because at times we do sin in this life, even as a saved person, we know that there is yet a complete rest to come where we will never sin again. Yes, we have entered his rest by having been born from above, but it will not be a completed rest until the last day when we have been translated into the new heaven and earth, when these earthly sin-filled bodies will have been changed in the twinkle of an eye to be perfect, sinless bodies. Only then where we have completely rested from our works so that His works can freely flow through us without any hindrance. May that last day come quickly. Amen. So there remains a rest for the people of Yahweh. Joshua did not give them rest, for David spoke of another day hundreds of years after Joshua, as written in Psalm 95:7, saying, "Today, if you should hear Yahweh's voice, you should not harden your hearts as the Israelites in the wilderness did, who as a result were not permitted into rest," that is the promised land, which land was a type of the heaven that we likewise will not be permitted to enter into if we harden our hearts to the word of Yahweh, the Bible. Once we do enter into heaven, we will rest from our own works, as any works that we may do will be Christ perfectly working through us. So then, it will no longer be we who do any work, but it will be Christ completely working through us, without any more sin which leads to death, sorrow or sadness, crying or pain. May heaven, the new earth and heaven, come quickly. Amen. Now to the true elect of Yahweh, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.